The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
Well, I would say my day has been exciting, but I don't think it can compare to what's happening in South Africa.
Well, yeah, indeed. You know what I was saying when we started the show today? You know how boring it must be? Can you imagine waking up and just being an Australian? You know how terrible that must be? Or New Zealand, and what's happening today? Well, nothing. And what happened yesterday? Nothing. And probably tomorrow, same thing's going to be as today. You know what? I think we're very blessed here to live in South Africa where things actually happen. You know, because
I have to laugh because you talk about that. A friend of mine lives on the Isle of Man and complains a lot that it's very quiet. I mean, they don't even have a mall, apparently. What? And he said, you know, yesterday the headline, there was a breaking news on the radio that a guy was arrested for racist remarks. And apparently he was calling his dog and the dog's name was Snickers. So it's a true story. I kid you not.
And that was the headline.
That was the headline.
Gosh. You know what, but every now and then I wouldn't mind a quiet day. Every now and then.
But, you know my philosophy on quiet days.
Yeah, you worry. You always worry when the day is too quiet. Indeed. All right, Rolene, let's talk about what's happening in your neck of the woods. Israel offers aid to Iran and Iraq, but unfortunately immediately turned down. Apparently we worry more about politics than we do people.
Apparently so. The Israeli government offered last night from where Prime Minister Netanyahu is with the Jewish – well, this was during a live Q&A with the Jewish Federations in Los Angeles, and he offered through the Red Cross help to victims of the earthquake in Iran and Iraq and was summarily turned down. And he said that, you know, this is Israel's commitment – of friendship to the people of Iran and Iraq. He says it's got nothing to do with the activities of governments. It's about it's people to people. And he was summarily turned down. The State Department offered thoughts and prayers to victims and their condolences, but it's Israel who offered the tachlis help. I mean, it's so bad. I mean, it's so cutting the nose off to spite the face that Iran has apparently rejected not only Israel's offer, but all aid proposals from the international community. I mean, this to me should tell you everything you need to know about Iran and why we need a regime change in Iran. I mean, whatever's happening in Zimbabwe be catchy.
Absolutely, absolutely shocking that your hatred for another country or other countries can be so strong that you're prepared to let your own people suffer. Terrible story indeed. Netanyahu to Putin, we are not bound by the ceasefire agreement in Syria. I get nervous when Donald Trump runs around the world making big statements because in the normal course of events, Netanyahu's going to follow, and he did.
Well, Netanyahu met with Prime Minister or President Putin a little bit earlier this month, and he also met with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov, and he says that the ceasefire agreements in Syria do not apply to Israel, that Israel will not stop or will not cease in defending herself should there be rockets or mortars or anything else that comes over the border from Syria into Israel. We will defend our territory. And he says that he will not agree to any ceasefire deal that includes unless it includes the expulsion of foreign fighters from Syria. And he says, Israel will continue to look out for our security interests in any situation. And we say this now on the back of several airstrikes in Syria because of weapons convoys coming from Iran to support their proxy Hezbollah.
Absolutely scary talk in that region. And we do know that the vacuum that was created in Syria presenting a tremendous, tremendous problem, potential problem for Israel. Do we know how Putin reacted to this?
Yeah, we don't know how Putin reacted to this. I think, you know, Putin probably nodded his head politely and, you know, will carry on doing what Putin does. I don't think he is in any way threatened by any other leader in this world. I think he's very, very well aware of the power that Russia holds right now. But relations between Israel and Russia are very, very positive. So I think that it was a meeting between friendly leaders. And I think that on some level, Putin has to understand where Netanyahu is coming from.
Indeed, indeed he does. So the Saudi document explores possible peace with Israel. We've seen a lot of movement in this regard. We've spoken about it quite extensively where we're having this. We are seeing lines being drawn in the Gulf region and in particular with Saudi Arabia and the support that they are now receiving from the United States, from Israel, etc. What do we know about this document?
Well, what we know is that news about this document was broke in the Lebanese newspaper Al-Akhbar. And we've also got to understand relations between Lebanon and Saudi at the moment, which are very, very tense. And what they say, or they're calling it a secret document of the Saudi Foreign Ministry. And they say that this rejuvenates the 2002 Saudi Peace Initiative. And they also say that, in their opinion, members of the Saudi government and Israeli officials have been meeting on the side. Also, what they go on to say is that this is coincidentally after Donald Trump's visit to the region and his speech in Saudi, which was seen as a huge achievement. In fact, we all lauded him for a very, very bold and very dynamic speech that he gave in the Saudi Parliament at the conference of other Arab countries, where he actually appealed to the Arab world to take responsibility and to fight terror within its ranks. Now, the situation between Saudi and Hezbollah is very, very tense. The Lebanese blaming the Saudis for the resignation of their Prime Minister Hariri just a couple of weeks ago. We know that the Houthi militia that's supported by Hezbollah that come from Lebanon fired a missile at the airport in Riyadh. So there is that element of tension that we can't dismiss. However, they say that they doubt that any kind of rapprochement with Israel will happen because the people of the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia won't support it, because they support, from a spiritual and historical and a religious perspective, they support the Palestinian cause.
And certainly one that situation that we will most definitely keep watching. We mentioned the story a little bit earlier when we spoke to David Efuen, editor of the Algemeine in New York. The ADL condemning the choice of Linda Sarsour on a panel on anti-Semitism. I would think she's a brilliant choice. She really understands what anti-Semitism is.
Well, she does, because she is a prime candidate for being an anti-Semite.
Right. So tell us about the story.
Well, this worries me, and the reason why I included it is because I see this trend. You and I spoke a couple of months ago, our concern that there were elements within South Africa, within the so-called human rights community, that are co-opting or taking anti-Semitism aboard, that these figures of intersectionality, and if Ahmad is the male equivalent in South Africa, Sarsour is the female equivalent in the United States. And, you know, she has gained notoriety for her women's march and being one of the organizers. And she's where we see it maybe playing out differently in South Africa, that, you know, if you're concerned about apartheid, you should be concerned about Palestinian rights. Very, very nefarious kidnapping and hostage taking of the crown that was apartheid to serve the agendas of the BDS movement in South Africa. In America, it's different. In America, Linda Sarsour, who is a huge BDS supporter, has brought in the issue of, well, you can tie the lack of women's rights or women's parity, women's equality, to the situation in the Middle East between Israel and the Palestinians. So it's that element that they're bringing in. And I'm very, very concerned that these are becoming the voices of anti-Semitism.
And it just seems to me, and I posed this question to Dovid a little bit earlier, is this a deliberate attempt? Is it a poke in the face or a deliberate way to attack the community, the Zionist community, the Jewish community? Because it just doesn't seem possible, it doesn't seem logical to me that of all the people in all the world and all over the United States, that this is the person that you would choose to sit on a panel on anti-Semitism. It makes absolutely no sense to me, unless it's a deliberate move.
What was his comment?
He believes it's deliberate. He believes it was deliberate.
I also believe it's deliberate. And I think, and this is really why I think we all need to be active. And, you know, Jews can't afford to be on the sidelines or quiet anymore. We need to take back our narrative and we need to take back our history, because it is being absolutely stolen by people like this.
Mm-hmm. You know, we had a situation here in South Africa a few weeks ago where one of the reform or conservative movements invited a head of the BDS to their shul, to a shul function. And it was, of course, done in the interest of reaching out and bridging gaps and things like that. And the reaction from the community was absolutely they would not tolerate that at all. And even from within that own community, there were people from that temple or from that synagogue saying, absolutely not. We're not going to tolerate this. But there does seem to be, you know, because there's a very, very strong element of intellectualism amongst Jews and amongst many left-wing Jews, that we think that we have to give a podium and we have to allow anybody, even if it's to our own detriment, to voice whatever view they want to voice. And we don't seem to have the confidence to say, you know what, hold on a minute. This is a synagogue. This is a place of worship. This is a place that actually is supportive of Israel. We don't need to. It doesn't mean we're censoring. It doesn't mean we don't value freedom of speech. But at the same time, we don't need to give a platform or a podium to somebody who stands up against us.
Well, I absolutely 100% agree with you, because first of all, I know who the culprit was. Mm-hmm. And I know that he is a renowned anti-Semite who is actually banned by France and I think by certain elements within the United Kingdom, certain academic institutions within the United Kingdom. He's a notorious anti-Semite. He has said things that are beyond the pale. I have no doubt that he specifically attended that service in the sukkah, without any intentions of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. He wants to do it so that he can go around the world stage saying, I am not an anti-Semite. In fact, I was invited into the sukkah in South Africa. That shows you I'm welcome amongst the Jews. I'm not an anti-Semite. I'm accepted. And I agree with you. We are so, I don't know what it is, Howard, maybe somebody out there, one of our listeners, can enlighten me what it is. I don't know if it's, well, if we're nice, you know, outstretched hand and unclenched fist, if it's that, if it's trying to fit in, if it's, you know, benefit of the doubt. What I do know is that there has to be a line drawn, because at the end of the day, what might be good intentions from people within the Jewish community ends up being exploited by those on the other side who are looking for opportunities like this to use it to push their agenda forward.
Absolutely right. It's 5:50. I'm Howard Feldman. This is Your Afternoon with me. That was Rolene Marks with the Israel Report, joining us Monday to Thursday round about 5:35. Rolene Marks, you have a fantastic evening. Thank you, as always, for a great update.